Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks.
Do you remember that book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, by Amy Chua? It got a lot of attention when it was published earlier this year.
Here's an excerpt. A lot of people wonder how Chinese parents raise such stereotypically successful kids. Well, I can tell them because I've done it. Here are some things my daughters were never allowed to do.
Have a play date.
Watch TV or play computer games.
Get any grade less than an A.
Not be the number one student in every subject except gym and drama.
Play any instrument other than the piano or violin.
Not play the piano or violin.
Well, we're in the middle of college admission season right now, and this month, one of Amy Chua's daughters was accepted to Harvard and Yale. As Kate Schwartz wrote in Newser, take that, haters!
But what about those students who still get straight A's, nail their SATs, and still don't get into elite universities like Harvard and Yale because, well, they're Asian American? That's today's talker a bit later in the show.
But first, today is a landmark day for Alzheimer's research. For the first time since 1984, the disease has a new definition.
Researchers published four papers today in the Alzheimer's Association Journal, all to say that the disease, contrary to popular belief, does not begin with dementia. It actually starts long before you start forgetting things or getting confused.
Earlier, Adam sat down with Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's health blog, Common Health, and asked her to tell us more.
They are now defining Alzheimer's disease as a kind of a continuum that begins with what they call the preclinical stage, when you're actually not showing any symptoms, but your brain is kind of gunking up. Like, you can actually see, using special techniques, you can see that you're getting these sort of tangles in your brain that are called tau protein tangles, and you're getting plaques of what's called beta amyloid. And so basically it's like this physiological stuff that's happening in your brain before you demonstrate any symptoms. And then there's sort of a stage that has some symptoms, but they're mild. It's like mild cognitive decline. And then eventually you may progress to actual Alzheimer's.
Okay, let me float an analogy and you can tell me if I'm totally wrong. So it's like I could have a brain tumor for years before it affected me neurologically or gave me headaches or anything like that. But I still have a brain tumor, even though I'm not hurting from it.
Right. And as I understand it, there's another parallel, which is that you may have that brain tumor and it will never hurt you, right?
Yeah.
It may be benign or it may not grow. And I believe that similarly with some of these brain gunk things that happen with Alzheimer's, some people never progress to
really?
Alzheimer's. Yeah. So it's a difficult stage right now where they're still trying to figure out exactly what are the definitive criteria that mean that you will, in fact, definitely develop dementia.
Okay. That said, what's happened today sounds to me like a purely nomenclature. Cultural distinction. Why do I care what some lab coat considers to be Alzheimer's or pre-Alzheimer's, basically?
Right. Well, so I spoke today to a top expert at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Dr. Risa Sperling, and she was telling me that it's not just nomenclature, that in fact what's happening is that when the medical community develops new criteria, new diagnostic definitions like this, that opens the way to new clinical trials. So basically, if you have everybody agreeing on what the preclinical profile of Alzheimer's looks like, then you can start trying out drugs on people who have those criteria. And the reason why that's so important is that the trials with Alzheimer's drugs so far have been fairly disappointing.
Hmm.
And what researchers think is that maybe that's because they're getting to patients too late.
Too late.
Right. Maybe by the time you're showing dementia, you're out of luck. Yeah,
yeah,
you're out of luck. But what if you catch people when the Alzheimer's symptoms are still developing? Then maybe you might be able to stop the disease in its tracks. And that's what they're hoping.
So these new guidelines will enable the scientific community to start trying out some drugs on people who are in that preclinical stage.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so Carrie, as you just mentioned, I mean, there's still basically no effective treatment for Alzheimer's. What possible motivation would I have to go to my doctor and have tests done to find out if I have these crazy plaque things going on in my brain when there's nothing I could do about it?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, some of us are just information hounds and we just want to know. You might want to know whether you're likely to develop dementia in 5 years. That might change some of your life choices. And in fact,
stop contributing to the 401k right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Spend the money instead, you know. But there was a very good story in the Boston Globe about all this today, and they were speaking with the chief medical officer of the Alzheimer's Association, who was asked exactly this question. And he said, well, consider two corporate executives. One of, and they both have early Alzheimer's, so they're maybe just beginning to show the symptoms.
Okay.
One of them gets diagnosed quickly, and when he can't work any longer, he's eligible for disability and he retains much of his salary. The other one is not diagnosed, but, you know, he's showing symptoms of Alzheimer's. He's forgetful. He might have mood problems. That affects his job, and he gets fired. Now his family are managing his care on limited Social Security income. Now, this was in the Boston Globe today. So I thought that was a very good example of why you really might want to get an early diagnosis, even though you don't have a miracle drug that will cure you.
So, Carrie, you write on Common Health today that these tests for these plaque crazy, scary sounding things are kind of not ready for prime time yet. But if I'm really that information hound, if I really want to know what's going on in my brain, is there any option for me?
Yes. And in fact, I asked that very question today to Dr. Risa Sperling at Brigham and Women's. And she says that there is, in fact, a local clinical trial that you could try to enroll in. It's called the Harvard Aging Brain Study. And they're trying to enroll 300 so far normal people. But the one problem is you have to be over 65.
Okay, well, so, that knocks me out.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But she also says that a lot of these tests for the brain biomarkers are coming soon, probably within the next year or two. So just hold on a little bit and you can get tested if you really want to.
All right. Well, listeners, you can read more about this from Carrie on our Common Health blog, commonhealth.wbur.org. Carrie Goldberg, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Adam.